Krishna Book, Canto 19, The Solar Eclipse at Kurukshetra. Chapter 83, Scene 2, Draupadi Meets the Queens of Krishna. When Lord Krishna was busy meeting various kinds of visitors, and while they were engaged in offering prayers to Lord Krishna, the female members of the Kuru dynasty and Yadu dynasty took the opportunity of meeting with one another and engaging in talk of Lord Krishna's transcendental pastimes. The first inquiry was made by Draupadi to the wives of Lord Krishna. My dear Rukmini, Bhadra, Jambavati, Satya, Satyabhama, Kalindi, Shaivya, Lakshmana, Rohini, and all other wives of Lord Krishna, will you please let us know how Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, accepted you as his wives and married you in pursuance of the marriage ceremonies of ordinary human beings? To this question, the chief of all the queens, Rukmini Devi, replied, My dear Draupadi, it was practically a settled fact that princes like Jarasandha and others wanted me to marry King Shishupal. And as usual, all the princes present during the marriage ceremony were prepared with their armor and weapons to fight with any rival who dared to stop the marriage. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead kidnapped me the way a lion takes away a lamb from the flock. This was not, however, a very wondrous act for Lord Krishna, because anyone who claims to be a very great hero or king within this world is subordinate to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. All the kings touch their helmets to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. My dear Draupadi, it is my eternal desire that life after life I may be engaged in the service of Lord Krishna, who is the reservoir of all pleasure and beauty. This is my only desire and ambition in life. After this, Satyabhama began to speak. My dear Draupadi, my father was very much afflicted upon the death of his brother, Prasena, and he falsely accused Lord Krishna of killing his brother and stealing the Syamantaka jewel, which had actually been taken by Jambavan. Lord Krishna, in order to establish his pure character, fought with Jambavan and rescued the Syamantaka jewel, which was later delivered to my father. My father was very much ashamed and sorry for accusing Lord Krishna of his brother's death. After getting back the Syamantaka jewel, my father thought it wise to rectify his mistake. So although he had promised others my hand in marriage, my father submitted the Syamantaka jewel and myself at the lotus feet of Krishna, and thus I was accepted as Krishna's maidservant and wife. After this, Jambavati replied to Draupadi's question. My dear Draupadi, when Lord Krishna attacked my father Jambavan, the king of the rikshas, my father did not know that Lord Krishna was indeed his former master, Lord Ramachandra, husband of Sita. And not knowing the identity of Lord Krishna, my father remained continually engaged in fighting with Krishna for 27 days. After this period, when Jambavan became very tired and fatigued, he could understand that since no one but Lord Ram could defeat him, his opponent, Lord Krishna, must be the very same Lord Ramachandra. My father thus came to his senses, and not only immediately returned the Syamantaka jewel, but in order to satisfy Lord Krishna, my father presented me to Krishna in order to become his wife. In this way, I was married to Lord Krishna, and thus my desire to remain life after life as a servitor of Krishna was fulfilled. After this, Kalindi said, My dear Draupadi, I was engaged in great austerities and penances in order to get Lord Krishna as my husband. And when Lord Krishna became aware of this fact, he very kindly came to me along with his friend Arjuna and accepted me as his wife. Lord Krishna then took me away from the bank of the Yamuna, and since then I have been engaged in the house of Lord Krishna as the sweeper, although Lord Krishna is treating me as his wife. After this, Mitradinda said, My dear Draupadi, there was a great assembly of princes at my Swayamvara ceremony. Lord Krishna was also present in that meeting, and he accepted me as his maidservant by defeating all the princes present there. Krishna immediately took me away to Dwaraka, exactly as a lion takes a deer from a pack of dogs. When I was thus taken away by Lord Krishna, my brothers wanted to fight with him, and later on they were defeated. Thus, my desire to become the maidservant of Krishna, life after life, was fulfilled. After this, Satya addressed Draupadi. My dear Draupadi, my father arranged for an assembly for my Swayamvara, and in order to test the strength and heroism of the prospective bridegrooms, my father stipulated that they each had to fight with 7 ferocious bulls which had long serpentine horns. Many heroic prospective bridegrooms tried to defeat the bulls, but unfortunately they were all severely struck and they returned to their homes as defeated invalids. But when Lord Sri Krishna came and fought with the bulls, they were just like playthings for him. Krishna captured the bulls and roped each one of them by their nostrils. They thus came under Krishna's control, just like a goat's small kids come very easily under the control of children. My father became very pleased and married me with Lord Krishna in great pomp, giving as my dowry many divisions of soldiers, horses, chariots and elephants, along with hundreds of maidservants. Thus, Lord Krishna brought me to his capital city, Dwaraka. On the way back, Krishna was also assaulted by many princes, but Lord Krishna defeated all of them. And thus, I have the privilege of serving Krishna's lotus feet as a maidservant. After this, Bhadra began to speak. My dear Draupadi, Lord Krishna is the son of my maternal uncle. Fortunately, I became attracted to Krishna's lotus feet. So when my father understood these feelings of mine, he personally arranged for my marriage, inviting Lord Krishna to marry me and giving him in dowry 1 Akshauhini division of armed forces, along with many maidservants and other royal paraphernalia. I do not know whether I shall be able to have the shelter of Lord Krishna life after life, but still I pray to Lord Krishna that wherever I may take my birth, I may not forget my relationship with Krishna's lotus feet. Then Lakshmana said, My dear Queen Draupadi, many times I heard the great sage Narada glorifying the pastimes of Lord Krishna. I thus became attracted to the lotus feet of Krishna when I heard Narada say that the goddess of fortune Lakshmi was also attracted to Krishna's lotus feet. And since then, I have always been thinking of Krishna. Thus, my attraction for Krishna has increased. My dear queen, my father was very affectionate towards me. So when he understood that I was attracted to Krishna, he devised the plan. His plan was like that devised by your father. During the Swayamvara, the prospective bridegrooms had to pierce the eyes of a fish with their arrows. But the difference between the competition in your Swayamvara and mine was that in your case, the fish was hanging openly on the ceiling in clear view. But in my case, the fish was covered with a cloth and could only be seen by the reflection of the cloth in a pot of water. That was the special feature of my Swayamvara. News of this device was spread all over the world, and when the princes heard of it, they arrived at my father's capital city from all directions, fully equipped with armor and guided by their military instructors. Each one of them desired to win me as his wife. And one after another, they raised the bow and arrow which was left there for piercing the fish. Many could not even join the bowstring to the two ends of the bow, and without attempting to pierce the fish, they simply left the bow as it was and went away. Some, with great difficulty, drew the string from one end to the other, but being unable to tie the other end, they were suddenly knocked down by the spring-like bow. My dear Queen Draupadi, you will be surprised to know that at my Swayamvara meeting, there were many famous kings and heroes present. Heroes like Jarasandha, Ambashta, Shishupal, Bhimasena, Duryodhana, and Karna, and they were, of course, able to string the bow, but they could not pierce the fish because it was covered, and they could not trace it out from the reflection. However, the celebrated hero of the Pandavas, Arjuna, was able to see the reflection of the fish on the water. But although with great caution, he traced out the location of the fish and shot his arrow, he was not able to pierce the fish in exactly the right spot. But at least his arrow touched the fish, and so he proved himself better than all the other princes. All the princes who had tried to pierce the target were disappointed, having been baffled in their attempts. And some candidates had even left the place without making an attempt. But when at last Lord Krishna took up the bow, he was able to tie the bowstring very easily, just as a child plays with a toy. Krishna placed the arrow, and looking only once at the reflection of the fish in the water, Krishna shot the arrow, and the pierced fish immediately fell down. This victory of Lord Krishna was accomplished at noon, during the moment called Abhijit, which is astronomically calculated as auspicious. At that time, the vibration of Jai! Jai! was heard all over the world, and from the sky came sounds of drums being beaten by the denizens of heaven. Great demigods were overwhelmed with joy and began to shower flowers upon the earth. At that time, I entered the arena of competition, and the ankle bells on my legs were sounding very melodiously as I walked. I was nicely dressed with new silken garments. Flowers were decorating my hair, and because of Lord Krishna's victory, I was in ecstatic joy and smiling very pleasingly. In my hands, I was carrying a golden necklace bedecked with jewels, which was glittering at intervals. My curling hair encircling my face was shining with a bright luster due to the reflection of my various rings. With my blinking eyes, I first of all observed all the princes who were present, and when I reached my lord, I very slowly placed the golden necklace on his neck. As I have already informed you, from the very beginning, my mind had been attracted by Lord Krishna. I thus considered the garlanding of Lord Krishna to be my great victory. As soon as I placed my garland on the neck of Lord Krishna, immediately there sounded the combined vibration of mridangas, patahas, conchals, drums, kettle drums, and other instruments, all causing a tumultuous sound. And while the music played, expert male and female dancers began to dance, and singers began to sing sweetly. My dear Draupadi, when I accepted Lord Krishna as my worshipable husband, and Krishna also accepted me as his maidservant, there was a tumultuous roaring among the disappointed princes. All of them became very agitated because of their lusty desires. But without caring for them, my husband, in his form as four-handed Narayana, immediately took me on his chariot, which was drawn by four excellent horses. Expecting opposition from the princes, Krishna armored himself and took up his bow named Sharanga, and our celebrated driver, Daruka, drove the beautiful chariot without a moment's delay towards the city of Dwaraka. Thus, in the presence of all the princes, I was carried away very quickly, exactly as a deer is carried away from the flock by a lion. However, some of the princes wanted to check our progress, and thus, equipped with proper weapons, they opposed us, just as dogs try to oppose the progressive march of a lion. At that time, due to the arrows released by the Sharanga bow of Lord Krishna, some of the princes were cut on their left hands, some of them lost their legs, and some of them lost their heads, and some of them lost their very lives, while others fled from the battlefield. Then the Supreme Personality of Godhead entered that most celebrated city of the universe, Dwaraka. And as Krishna entered his city, he appeared like the shining sun. The whole city of Dwaraka was profusely decorated on that occasion. There were so many flags, festoons, and gates all over Dwaraka that the sunshine could not even enter the city. I have already told you that my father was very much affectionate towards me, so when he saw that my desire was fulfilled by getting Lord Krishna as my husband, in great happiness he began to distribute to his friends and relatives various kinds of gifts, such as valuable dresses, ornaments, bedsteads, and sitting carpets. As it is, Lord Krishna is always self-sufficient, and yet my father, out of his own accord, offered Krishna a dowry consisting of riches, soldiers, elephants, chariots, horses, and many rare and valuable weapons. My father presented all these to Lord Krishna with great enthusiasm. And so, my dear queen, at that time I could guess that in my previous life I must have performed some wonderfully pious activity, and as a result, in this life, I can be one of the maidservants in the house of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. When all the principal queens of Lord Krishna had finished their statements, Rohini, as a representative of the other 16,000 queens, began to narrate the incident of their becoming wives of Krishna. My dear Queen Draupadi, when Bauma Asura was conquering all the world, he collected wherever possible all the beautiful daughters of the kings and thus kept us arrested within his palace. When news of our imprisonment reached Lord Krishna, he fought with Bauma Asura and released us. Lord Krishna killed Bauma Asura and all of his soldiers, and although Krishna had no need to accept even one wife, nevertheless Krishna, upon our request, married all 16,000 of us. My dear queen, our only qualification is that we were always thinking of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, which is the way to release oneself from the bondage of repeated birth and death. My dear Queen Draupadi, please take it from us that we are not after any opulence, such as kingdom, empire, or a position of heavenly enjoyment. We do not want to enjoy such material opulences, nor do we desire to achieve yogic perfections, nor the exalted post of Lord Brahma. Nor do we want any of the different kinds of liberation, Salokya, Sarshti, Samipya, Sayujya. We are not at all attracted by any of these opulences. Our only ambition is to bear upon our heads, life after life, the dust particles attached to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. The goddess of fortune herself also desires to keep that